Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, wa kafa, wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Innahu huwal barrur rahim. Sadaqallahul azim. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the name Al-Wali. Al-Wali is very similar to the name that we had covered, Al-Waliyu. Al-Waliyu was explained in great detail. Al-Waliyu means someone who is closely connected. That is the meaning of Al-Waliyu. Someone who is closely connected. After Ayatul Kursi, we have this verse of the Quran, Allahu Waliyul Ladina Amanu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very close. The connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very strong with those who have iman. Allahu waliyul ladina amun. That is why when there is a nikah in the masjid, if the father is there representing the daughter, then he is not a wakil, he is a wali. The father is the wali of the daughter. And so this means that the father is actually endorsing this majlis, and he is accepting for the nikah of the daughter to take place with this individual in the gathering. So the main person there, of course, from the girl side, is the father, who is the wali. Now, to understand al-wali, al-wali means the same as Al-Wali also, but in addition, Al-Wali means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in complete control of everything in this universe. Al-Wali comes from wilaya. Al-Wali comes from wilaya. So the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon everything, upon every creation of His. Just to give you an example, that as individuals we might feel that we can do certain things what we want in life, but even then the complete control is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps to understand this, if we look into one incident that occurred during the lifetime of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, generally in our masajid here we follow his fiqh, and Imam Abu Hanifa is that man who has also seen some of the companions of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that makes him a tabi'i. That makes him a tabi'i, the one who saw the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A very famous jurist and also a judge. And so a man came to him and said to Imam Sahab, that Hazrat, there are three questions that I want to ask you. And so Imam Azam Abu Hanifa said, fine, ask me whatever your three questions are. And he said, number one, my question is that I feel I can do whatever I want and there is no one there controlling me. What did he say? I feel that I can do whatever I want and there is no one out there that is controlling me. I'm free, I can do whatever I want, there is no one there that is controlling me. And then number two, he said that the shayateen are jinns, and the jinns are created from fire. So if these shayateen are thrown into Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam, then how will fire give pain to fire? How will fire give pain to fire? Because jinns are from fire. These were the two questions. And number three, he also asked Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Rahmatullah Alayh, if I just have a look. Subhanallah Al-Azim. I'll have to eat more badam now. Allahu Akbar. So Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Rahmatullah Alayh, I reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aliyadhu billah. And I reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why? Because I can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the three questions he put forward to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. These were hard questions. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh said, "Theek." So Hazrat walked in front of him and he picked up a brick. And he picked up a brick and he threw it at that man. And of course it hit him, giving him minor injuries, giving him minor injuries. The Sheikh was with his group of people. And so this man put a complaint in the courts, and the judge had summoned Imam Azam Abu Hanifa to come. So the judge knew of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Now that is Islamic courts. Even one brick, justice is given. So when he was there in the courts, the judge said to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa that, did you throw the brick and did you give him pain? Imam Sahib said, yes, exactly I did that. I threw a brick at him. But I was only answering his questions. I was only answering his questions. Look at the intelligence of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He is answering three questions by one brick. Understand, brothers? He is answering three questions by one brick. Now imagine the fiqh of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Imagine his fiqh. So that man said, I don't understand. Then Imam Sahib explained to him. He said, you said that the jinns are created from fire, and so how can fire give pain to fire? How will fire burn fire? And so the brick that I threw at you is also made out of soil, clay. An insan is also made out of this earthly material, and this brick is also made out of this earthly material. So if this brick gave you pain, it means that when the jinns are going to be thrown in Jahannam, they will also feel the pain. So the judge said, yes, that is fine. Why, insan is made out of this earthly material, and if you throw a stone, it's going to hurt him, it's going to give him pain. He says, okay, one answer. He said, your second answer was, you said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I can't see him, why should I believe in him? Why should I believe in Allah Pak if I don't see him? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said to him, when I threw the brick at you, Did you want to retaliate and throw the brick at me? So he said, yes, I really wanted to throw the brick back at you. So Imam Sahib said, then why didn't you? So he says, well, you were with your students. You were with your students. And you know the Taliban, the students, you don't want to mess with them. So you were with your students. If I threw a brick at you, they would have all retaliated also. So I was scared, but I wanted to throw the brick also. So Imam Azam said, this is my second answer, that you are not in control of what you want to do. Your desire was to throw the brick back at me, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow you to throw the brick. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow you to throw the brick. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah al-Azim. So Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi answered the questions. And the third question was? Where is? Reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Sahib said to him, did you feel pain when I threw the brick at you? So he said to the judge, there is still pain in the body. So Imam Sahib said that he is lying. If there is pain in the body, then show me pain. Show me pain. So he says, how can I show you pain? How can I show you pain? But there is still pain there. But I can't show you the pain inside, but there is pain. So Imam Azam Abu Hanifa said that there is Allah despite the fact that you can't see him. There is Allah despite the fact that you can't see him. Ajeeb. Subhanallah al-Azim. With one brick, Hazrat is giving an answer of three questions. One brick. Subhanallah al-Azim. So that is the meaning of al-wali, that Allah is holding the wilaya, the control of everything that is happening in this dunya. So for an example, for human beings, the sun is very important. The sun is very important. Now there is no gadget, no technology that will allow the sun to rise and allow the sun to set. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the wilaya. This is the meaning of al-wali. This is the meaning of al-wali, that Allah takes the full control and Allah causes the sun to rise and Allah causes the sun to set. This is the full control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ocean in front of us, it has salt, salty water. The ocean has salt inside it. You can't even drink the water. It is impossible for human beings to remove that salt. There is no power for human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy that the water is taken up to the clouds. The water cycle that we study in schools. The water is taken up and then subhanallah, the salt is taken out in the clouds and then from the clouds the water comes down pure and sweet. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of every creation in His universe, in what He has created, al-wali. The fruits that are hanging on the tree, we see the fruits that are there. It is not in the power of insan to make the fruits sweet, to insert any kind of sweetness inside it. That is not in the power of insan. Insan cannot instill inside it flavors to make it sweet. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes something very, very sweet. And so in this way we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wali. After al-wali comes another name, al-muta'ali. Al-muta'ali. Al-wali, then comes al-muta'ali. Al-muta'ali is very similar to another name that we have covered, al-aliyyu. Aliyu. Aliyu and Muta'ali both come from the root words ulu. And ulu means something that is high. something that is high. So Al-Aliyu means that Allah is the most high. That is why in our salah, the tasbih that we read is Subhan Rabbiyal A'la. Glory be to my Lord, A'la, the one who is the most high. Glory be to my Lord, the one who is the most high. But Al-Muta'al also means high. But Al-Muta'ali also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself claims to be above others. That is his claim. That he is the most high and he claims also to be above others. Nothing in the creation can make that claim, because that would be kibr, that would be pride and arrogance. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can make this claim. And so this is a claim from Allah that only He is above everything else. He is above everything else. No doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given honor to many, many creations of His that He has created. Karamat, honor is given to, you know, different creations. So for an example, if you look at insan and if you look at the animals, what is the honor that Allah Pak has given to insan? Insan are people naturally want to cover themselves with clothes. What is it? They naturally want to cover themselves with clothes. But if you look at the animals, do you see them wearing a coat, a jacket, tracksuit bottom, shoes? Do you see them brushing in the morning? No clothes. Allah has made them like that, naked. A human being naturally will want to cover his satr. But for an animal, his satr is exposed. His satr is exposed. This is the karamat, this is the difference between a human being and the animals that Allah Pak has created. That is why our scholars say that when a person becomes behaya and he likes to remove the clothes to expose his body, then he is moving away from humanity, being a human being, and he is getting closer towards the animal world. That he is from the an'am, the animals. Naturally, a person will want to cover himself. Naturally. Throughout the world, you'll see, generally, people will want to cover their body. But that is the karamat. Allah has given that honor. But al-muta'ali means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala claims to be the most high. So, al-wali, al-muta'al, al-wali, al-muta'al, and the name after that is al-barru. Al-Barru. Now Al-Barru is a very important attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bil-Fathi. So for an example, not Al-Birru, Al-Barru, with Zabar on it, Al-Barru. Al-Birru gives a different meaning. So for an example, Birrul Walidain in the Arabic language means that be kind to your parents. Be kind to your parents. That is called Birrul Walidain. But here is Al-Barr. And Al-Barr means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of every good. The source of every good in this world. So for an example, if you have a quality inside you and there are people that are praising you, they are not praising you, they are actually praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the one who is the creator of every good. The source of every good is Al-Barr. Allah has kept that quality inside you. That is why people admire you. That is why people like you. It is not you. Every good comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is called Al-Barru. What is it called? Al-Barru. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that al-hajjul mabrur laysa lahu jaza illa al-jannah. Hajjul Mabrur, there is no reward for that Hajj except for Jannah. Now, Hajjul Mabrur. Mabrur comes from this word, from the same name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Bar. From Al-Bar, you get the word Mabrur. From Al-Bar, you get the word Al-Mabrur. And so, Al-Hajjul Mabrur means the best Hajj. The one who does the best Hajj. The one who does the best Hajj, there is no reward except for Jannat for that individual. Now, Al-Bar, we need to understand this. Somebody might say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the creator of all the good, the source of every good that is happening. But what about the evil that is happening? But what about the evil that is taking place? We can't put a blind eye to some of the wrong things that are happening in this dunya. Now, just to simplify things, in my own words, brothers, just for us to understand, two words are very important for us to understand. If we understand these two words, inshaAllah ta'ala, our life will be good. One is to use something properly, to make use of something properly, and the opposite of that is to misuse or to abuse, to misuse. And one is to use properly and one is to misuse. All the blessings of this dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that is all khair and good for insan. If he is going to use the blessings properly. But if he's going to misuse the blessings given to him, then that is guna. Then there is no fault of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is al-bar. Let me give you an example. There was a man who was caught that he had stabbed somebody with a knife and that person died. That person died. Now the weapon that he used is a knife. If he is taken to the courts, can he say to the judge, it's not my fault, I want to sue the company, the knife company? Why? Because if they did not make a knife, I would not be in this position. And it is not my fault, it is the fault of this tool that I have, the knife. Can anyone blame the knife? No. But the knife is there, you use it properly. The knife is there for you to use it properly. But if you misuse the knife, if you take a knife as a weapon, then obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-bar. Allah has given insan the intelligence. They have created many tools in this world so that it is a means of benefit. But if you move it away and take it away and abuse it, it is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that, look, there is desire inside you. A man can get married to a woman. This is the nice and proper way of fulfilling your desire. But if you abuse the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and instead of nikah, you fornicate, for an example, or you do something which is wrong, then you are abusing the system. That is misuse of something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. For an example, you have the mobile phone. There was an article today in the newspaper that the youth today, a great number of the youth, stay awake in the night and they are on their mobile phone. They are on their mobile phone, which is affecting their study, which is affecting their health, which is affecting everything. They've become more lazy, example. Now imagine the phone, what a powerful technology. Within a few minutes you can speak to somebody thousands of miles away. Subhanallah. You want to find out somebody how he is, you can give him a call. If you use the technology properly, then there is khair. But if you abuse this technology, if you abuse it and you get addicted to it, and you look at the wrong things, and you use the phone for the wrong things, It's like a quicksand, then you are pulled into it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking our imtihan, and Allah Pak is saying, look, use the tools that I have put in this dunya in front of you, use it properly, don't abuse it. So for an example, if you have a problem with your temper or you become angry very quickly, then anger is good. There is nothing wrong with a person at times when he is angry. Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam at times he was also angry. So there is nothing wrong. To be angry at the right time, it is good. But if you abuse and misuse this quality that is inside you, then this is wrong. Somebody, Allah has blessed him with a very beautiful car. It's a sports car. And this car can go very fast. It's a sports car. And he's young, and there he is, he wants to race with somebody, and all of a sudden on the motorway, an accident happens. Who is to blame? Use or misuse? Use or misuse? This is the problem, my respected brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that He is al-barr. A lot of the people who fall into the trap of shaitan is when they misuse the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They misuse the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so always focus, my respected brothers. Every day, whatever you are doing, understand that what I am doing, is it right or is it wrong? Is it right or is it wrong? And from this name, that is why in the Quran, Al-Barr only comes once. Al-Barr in the Quran only comes once. Inna kunna min qablu nad'u, innahu huwal barrur rahim. Innahu huwal barrur rahim. It is talking about the people who will go to Jannah, and they will be speaking and they will say that, Alhamdulillah, in the dunya, we frequently would call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We frequently would call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu huwal barrur rahim. Today we are in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is barr, the source of every good, and He is the most merciful. It is out of His mercy and the fact that He is the source of every good that the final result is today we are in Jannah. Today we are in Jannah. My brothers, if we want joy, happiness, contentment in this dunya, and if you want a life to be free of depression, then stop sinning. Stop sinning. Finished. Stop sinning. Don't do guna. Don't do guna. And then you see how all your du'as are accepted immediately by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is that temptation is there, that desire is there. But Shariat has also given us an avenue of how to curb that, how to take control of that. You'll find so many people today that are the youth. They don't even have the habit of making dua. Of course. They don't have a habit of making dua before you go to sleep. Quality time. Quality time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And pray to Him and ask Him. Who knows, it might be that time in which Allah accepts all your du'as. Who knows? Subhanallah, a blank check will be given to you. Why? You are making du'a. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, always keeps that person very close who is in the habit of asking Him. Who is in the habit of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very important lesson that the ulama have given to us in understanding this name of Al-Barr, that because Al-Barr means that Allah is the source of every good, it means that we as Muslims also have to be good with everyone else that are around us, irrespective of the fact that whether that person is a Muslim or he's not a Muslim. So we should also be a means of goodness to everyone that is around us. This is the meaning of also Albar. If you look at Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een, one Sahabi whose name is Hazrat Jarir, just to quickly conclude, Hazrat Jarir radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Jarir radiallahu ta'ala said to his slave that I want you to go and buy for me a horse. Buy for me a horse. So the slave went and he made a business deal with someone, and this was a very good deal. For 300 dirhams, he completed the deal, and the horse was going to his Malik, Hazrat Jarir. So he said to the owner of the horse that for the payment, if you come to my master that is just here. So this man comes with his horse, and the slave says that, Hazrat, you wanted a horse, give him 300 dirhams and this horse is yours. Hazrat Jarir said, so cheap, 300 dirhams. 300 dirhams. And so he went to this man, who was also a Muslim, the owner of the horse was also Muslim. So he looked at the horse and he said, my brother, this horse is worth more than 300. Would you be happy if I gave you 400? Would you be happy if I gave you 400? I don't know how many of us would do that. How many of us would do that? Would you be happy if I gave you 400? He was shocked. He says, well, of course, 400, I would be happy. Hazrat Jarir said, no, wait. Then he went around and he looked at the horse properly, carefully. He said, no, I think I have to increase another 100 dirhams. Would you be happy with 500? He says, yeah. Eventually, Hazrat Jarir, the Sahabi, is taking his time looking at the horse and said, I think the real value of this horse is 800 dirhams. How many dirhams? 800 dirhams. From 300, the slave is looking at his master, Hazrat Jarir. Hazrat Jarir is going to pay him 800 dirhams and said that, you know, take 800 dirhams and give me the horse. And the slave said to the master, ki Hazrat, you know, it's your money, your wealth, whatever. But the deal was there, 300, he agreed. What's the problem? What is the problem? Hazrat Jarir said, no, no, no. The problem is that he has no experience. This horse is worth more than 300, more than 400, more than 500, more. The real value of this horse is around 700 to 800 dirhams. 700 to 800 dirhams. And he is my brother. And he is my brother. And I promised Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a promise Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taken from me, that I will be khair kha, I will be good to all of my Muslim brothers. That I will be nush. Nush means khair kha. I will be good to all of my Muslim brothers. And for me to actually take money 300 would mean that he is at a loss. Would mean that he is at a loss. Allahu Akbar. These were incredible people. The value they had of the tongue. Value they had of the tongue. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and very quickly, is doing tawaf. Then there is this Muslim man who comes to Makkah. And so he is inquiring that, look, you know, from Medina I have heard that Abdullah ibn Umar does a lot of Umrah. Does a lot of Umrah. I am here. Can you tell me if Abdullah ibn Umar is here? The son of who? Hazrat Umar. So he had never seen Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar. So people said to him, you are lucky, you are here in Makkah and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar has just arrived. So from Medina he is here in Makkah Mukarramah and he is going to be doing Umrah now. So he is there in the Mataf. He was all excited. Oh ho, imagine for me to see the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, who himself is a Sahabi. And so he went towards the Mataf and he said to the people, please can you tell me where Abdullah ibn Umar is? And they pointed at him that is Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, subhanallah, he went, Hazrat was doing tawaf. Nowadays, you know, when you're doing tawaf, you also, you know, answer your phone calls, and, you know, people are doing tawaf and everything is live, recorded, you know, everything, and you're going to send that to the people at home. When the fuqaha actually say that you're not even supposed to look at the Kaaba when you do tawaf, your concentration should be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another mas'ala. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an is there doing tawaf. This man comes forward and pushes everybody on the side and gets to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar. And the akhlaq of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar said, Hazrat, salam alaikum. Looks at him. Wa alaikum salam. Doing tawaf. Without wasting time, Hazrat, I am a musafir, I am here. It's a pleasure to see you. I have heard that you have a young daughter. And inshallah, if you don't mind, you are the father, you are the wali, I want to marry your daughter. Subhanallah. I want to marry your daughter. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar is doing tawaf, and this man comes directly, you know, he wants to marry. During tawaf, you know, people were so simple, and nikah was actually very simple in those days. Nowadays nikah is a headache. But nikah was so simple. Nikah was simple in the time of Sahab. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar also could not stop laughing. Kind of a man, is he? So he said, Hazrat, I hear you have a daughter and I need to marry her. You know, it's the line of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. I want to marry her. Now, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and gave him a smile and said, look, at the moment I'm doing tawaf, inshallah, you know, we'll think about it, of course. Let me get back to Madina Munawwara. And Hazrat looked at his face. This man was full of smile. 360 degrees. A full smile. As if Hazrat has said yes. So Hazrat was looking at him. Now that was the conversation. People were crowding Abdullah ibn Umar, the Sahabi. People were around him. Nowadays, you see, when you become very rich or you're a big guy, just to get close to you, sometimes you forget your old sincere friends. And sometimes there's a queue. Nobody can even come to you. Sahaba were not like that. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not like that. Allah's Nabi would speak to everyone. And so, he got back to Madina Munawwara. Allah ka karna, it so happened that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar became ill, very, very serious. In fact, it was the last stage of his life. So he became very serious, very ill. And then he called the wife and the family members and he said to everybody, can you come and come close to me? So they all came. And he said to the family members that this is my daughter. I was doing tawaf, my last umrah, and a man came to me and he wanted to marry my daughter here. And I said to him, I did not give him a definite answer, yes. But when I looked at his face, it seemed that as if he had made his own decision and he took me to be giving him a positive answer that I said yes. You know, the face was such that he felt that I said yes. In reality, I did not say yes. But if I die and this young man comes, then I, the father, give permission that make his nikah with my daughter. If I am dead. Allahu Akbar. And then he said to the family that I don't want to depart from this dunya in a way that one Muslim brother feels that I have breached the promise made to him. I have broke the promise made to him. It was no promise. But Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar is saying it seems that he was so happy. You know, there was this buzz there. He was so excited. I could see it was as if I said to him, yes. And if he comes and if I pass away and if he thinks that, you know, I said no, it might break his heart. And I don't want to go to my Allah in such a way that I break someone's heart. Look at these people. Look at Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in. How were they the best of the best people? Today, look at us. And this is the meaning of Al-Barr. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of every good. And Allah wants from us that we be good to everyone that is around us. Even if it means that sometimes things are going against you. In the hadith it comes that you have this desire. You have this desire. But there is something, a decision that you take that is even against you. And if you accept that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your maghfirat. This is in Hilya hadith. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your maghfirat. You see, sometimes you'll find that, no, I said this, no, I said that, I said this, no. Allahu. Sometimes for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, just for a few minutes, brothers can close their eyes and do muraqabah so that the hearts become pure and clean. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muslimin. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika.